I'm sorry, I meant to request a song for the invitation song. Would it be too out of order to request 336, There's a Great Day Coming?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, we'll sing that at the end.
336, invitation song.
Thank you for that accommodation. We're so happy to be here with you, and as I said in Bible class, we have so many wonderful memories of being here 4 years ago. Some faces aren't here, they were here at the time, and there's some new faces that are here. So we're happy to make your acquaintance, and it's always a joy staying with Joyce and Lewis, our children's surrogate grandparents, and we sure do enjoy their fine hospitality. And I have some bad news for you, though, that upon Lewis's retirement, whenever he retires 10, 15 years from now, they are going to come and move over to Philadelphia area and move over with us. And of course, I'm joking, but that would be nice. I want to thank the church here for all your prayers. Since I was here last time in 2013, and I'm not trying to bemoan my state, but they have been the four most trying years of my life. And I thank the Lord, most importantly, for being alive. I thank you for your prayers, and I thank my very devoted and humble and hardworking helpmeet, Jana, my wife, for being with me through all of this, as well as our children. This morning, we asked the question, is hell real? The answer is the title of the lesson, Hell is Real. This is a topic that we often don't like to talk about, or we squirm in our seats and we don't like to hear. And yet, let's look at some polls here. A Pew poll says 72% of Americans believe in heaven, and yet only 58% of Americans believe in hell. Out of that 58%, only 1 or 2% of the population believes that they're in any jeopardy of going to hell. In 1993, when I was preaching south of Houston in Texas, I preached a sermon on hell and had some very vivid graphic descriptions from the Bible, of course. And an older lady, probably the oldest lady in the congregation, came up to me in 1993. She was at least 80 at the time, which means she was born in at least 1913. She came up to me and shook my hand and said, "When I was a child, those preachers used to preach on hell and they used to scare me to death." And she didn't hear that kind of preaching anymore. That would have made her a child somewhere in the late teens or early 20s. Well, let's start off and talk about the denominational world. There's a major problem in the denominational world, among many problems, of ignoring the doctrinal teaching of hell or even denying that hell exists. But did you know that Jesus spoke more about eternal punishment and judgment than he did about heaven? And yet it's the exact opposite amongst the denominational world. Here's some more statistics from an ARDA poll. And you'll notice that as people become more educated, they're less likely to believe in hell. Amongst high school dropouts, 62% believe in hell. High school graduates, 59%. Some college, 55%. Once you graduate from college, only 47% believe in hell. Those who go to graduate school, 35%, only about a third. And I would imagine if you put college professors up there, it would be in the teens. And then I'm not making a political statement here at all. This is just for whatever it's worth. I thought this was interesting. ARDA poll says amongst Republicans, 69% believe in hell, but only 43% among Democrats. Honestly, I don't quite understand that. That's just something to chew on. Let's hear from the so-called Reverend Mary Krause, pastor of the Dumbarton Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. Listen to what these denominational preachers have to say about hell. In many churches, One finds little talk these days about a literal punitive hell as a real possibility after death. My congregation would be stunned to hear a sermon on hell, she says. Her parishioners, she says, are upper middle class, well-educated thinkers. So I guess the more educated you are, the more you're able to decipher what's not true in God's word, or at least what you don't want to believe. Who view God as compassionate and loving, maybe as the Morgan Freeman type of God, not someone who's going to push them into eternal damnation. Notice Harvey Cox from Harvard Divinity School. He says this is what's happening. There's been a shift in religion from focusing on what happens in the next life to asking, what is the quality of the life we're leading now? You can go to a whole lot of churches week after week, he says, and you'd be startled even to hear a mention of hell. So the question is, why are denominational preachers ignoring hell? Why are they turning away from it? Well, I'll give you a clue. Preachers are catering to people rather than to God. They're listening to the sheep rather than listening to the shepherd. That's the problem. And we see this in 2 Timothy 4, 2, and 3, where we see sheep's and wolves in sheep's clothing discussed. So as not to detract from the passage, I'm going to drop this picture now that you've seen it. Preach the word, Paul says. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting